Case number 13185, 14706 Coastal Highway LLC seeks variances from the landscape buffer requirement in the combined highway corridor overlay zone and from the front yard setback requirement for a proposed structure. Sections 115.82, 115.194.1, and 115.182 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the southwest side of Coastal Highway. The 91 address is 14706 Coastal Highway in Milton. The zoning district is C1. Tax map is District 235, map 16, parcel 76. We have zero letters of support, zero letters of opposition, and zero mail return.
And just for the record, I noticed that the name of one of the owners has the last name of Sharp. We are not related, so I just figured I'd disclose that for the record.
I also asked the same question of my client. Thank you. Good evening. My name's Mackenzie Sindelar. I used to be a frequent flyer here, but I haven't been before this board in probably a year and a half, maybe 2 years. I recognize the chair. It's nice to meet everyone else. I'm an attorney at the law firm of Saul Ewing with offices in Wilmington. And I'm here this evening on behalf of my client, 14706 Coastal Highway LLC, which owns 14706 Coastal Highway in Sussex County, Delaware. For orientation, this property is right near the recently improved intersection of Hudson Road and Route 1. You would obviously travel further down the road and eventually hit where my clients used to operate their business, Shed Crazy, at the intersection of Cave Neck Road and Route 1, which is north of the antique mall there, on the right-hand side of Route 1, just to orient yourself as to where we are on southbound Route 1. So as I mentioned, my clients also own Shed Crazy, which was founded in 1972 by Steve Fender's father. And just to confirm, it's Stephen Fender and Jennifer Sharp, who are members of the LLC. And also with me, the project engineer, Roger Gross, with Mearstone Consultants, if there's any technical questions that I cannot answer. So as I mentioned, Steve's father founded the business back in 1972. It specializes in selling and building accessory buildings, garages, sheds, as well as gazebos, pergolas, pavilions, and then poly lumber furniture. The business serves customers in Delaware, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, and Virginia with all the products made in the United States. The property and proposed building will serve as Shed Crazy's showroom and sales office. In addition, the applicant submitted, if we could pull up just the concept plan, the packet would be helpful. So what was submitted with the application was the conceptual plan, which shows the building, as well as a commercial site plan that showed some existing foundations, the boundary survey, a sample of the Twin Mass subdivision plan, which shows a significant buffer that I'll talk about during my presentation today between the back of the proposed building and the nearest lot line in that community, separating that back of the building from that lot line at a distance of 205 feet, as well as a setback verification, confirming what the applicable setbacks are here, and then the property and deed information, as well as aerial maps of the site. My clients are seeking two variances, specifically, they're actually respecting the buffer of the CHCOZ zone, but they're seeking a setback verification request from the request from the front yard setback, as well as a setback, a variance request from the CHCOZ setback as well, which are the same. They're specifically looking for to propose the front of their building at 30.4 feet, which would require, like I said, two setback variances, specifically from the front yard setback and then the combined highway corridor overlay zone. And I did speak with Ms. Norwood as well as Mr. Sharp about the variation. That was what was requested in our application. The notice and advertisement is fine. sufficient. It accounts for multiple variances from that setback. So as you can see on the conceptual plan, there's a proposed two-story building that is being proposed at approximately 5,520 square feet. It's 120 by 46. The entrance to the property is off of Route 1 with a proposed gravel driveway that's here. A gravel parking lot. Not only is the shape of the property unique, as you can see, it's five-sided, but it's also constrained by a denial of access here with DelDOT, so they could not put an entrance here. The entrance had to be located on this side of the property. That entrance is also improved. My client brought some photos that I do want to submit into the record so that you can see what the improvements look like. And I give you a couple different documents. So first is just showing the improved entrance that was approved by DelDOT. Second is just an aerial overlay of the property, just showing the previously existing foundations that are still there. And then also Grizzlies, that's next door, that's definitely located within the setback. It's quite obvious. And another aerial as well that just shows where we are in proximity to the Hudson Road intersection, like I talked about. And the quality of there's a couple that the printer unfortunately ran out of ink on. Applicable setbacks here, as confirmed by the setback verification, is a 60-foot front yard setback, as well as a 60-foot CHCOZ setback, a 20-foot side yard, and a 30-foot rear yard. And if you see here, you'll see where the building restriction line actually allows for a building to be developed in, and it's very, very limited as a result of those setbacks for anything that's commercially built here. The property is zone C1, general commercial. You'll see throughout the documents that were provided, there had been different building setback restrictions that were shown on various different plans. At one point we had the 10-foot applicable and 10-foot on the side applicable, which really was applicable to residential, but there was a commercial business here previously. It was a modular home sales office. So that probably really wasn't entirely accurate historically. And then there also at one point was a 5-foot setback that had been notated on one of the plans too with respect to side and rear yard. So there's just some variation over time as to what was enforced or applicable based off use. But today, like I said, we've got the 60-foot front yard setback, 20-foot side, and 30-foot rear. Given these limitations, our client was faced with a balancing act of determining which variances to pursue for a reasonably sized building and which setbacks and buffers they should maintain. And it was truly a juggling act trying to determine what actually needed to be sought, not obviously asking for too much, making sure that we're meeting the requirements, et cetera. And ultimately it was decided to respect the rear yard setback because Twin Mass is a residential project located behind the property and under development currently. I do have an exhibit that shows the distance that is going to be respected there between the commercial development and commercial building and the nearest lot line, like I mentioned. I do want to submit that now. So respecting that setback, the building shifted into the front yard setback. I had mentioned this previously, but the prior use was a modular home and sales office, and there's still remnants of the foundations, and you'll see that in some of the photos that were submitted of the prior use. The proposed building coincides with the locations of those original foundations, but as you can see, they're in really bad shape. They cannot be reused. So the goal is to build a proposed building that will function as Shed Crazy's Design Center. Originally, when the business was first operated and opened, the business model was focused more on purchasing inventory for resale. However, with the emergence of HOAs that enforce specific architectural standards, the business model has really shifted to a design and order approach for accessory buildings, reducing the need for outdoor storage, which was their previous business model that they followed for a long time. And the plan is for the new building to house a small office and reasonably sized design center, along with storage, with any overflow inventory being kept offsite. It's also important to note, especially for anyone worried about outdoor displays like my clients used to use as part of their business model, that the site and entrance cannot accommodate the tractor trailer traffic that was necessary to get certain products to their previous location. And all of this information is just being provided to confirm that they don't need a special use for outdoor display. Regarding parking, the proposed layout, as you'll see here, likely exceeds the actual requirements of the code. The original parking calculation assumed a larger design area of about 75% of the building, but it's probably more like 50% just on the first floor, or maybe even less, with the remainder of the space for office and storage, like I mentioned. And it's also worth mentioning that Jen and Steve are the only employees of their company, which further reduces the need of parking spaces. And anything, of course, that's developed would be compliant with parking requirements of the code. You may be curious about how much traffic they get to and from their current site and what they expect. Throughout the week, they'd say approximately 5 people a day, and it can really staggered throughout the day. And then on the weekends, approximately 10 people, and again, staggered throughout the day. So very limited traffic to and from. For the specific requests, again, my client's seeking two variants, a variant to reduce the front yard setback and from the CHCOZ setback. And I'll walk through the specific requirements and why we meet each criteria that's provided in the code. So first, there are unique physical circumstances or conditions. The property is uniquely shaped with 5 sides and possesses a very narrow developable area. Access, like I mentioned, is restricted on the south side of the property, requiring the site access to be located on the north side of the property as shown on the plan. The minimum rear setback of 30 feet from the adjacent residential development, coupled with the 60-foot front yard setback, 20-foot side yard, further constrains the building envelope. Number 2, because of those conditions or circumstances, the property cannot be developed in strict conformity with the code provisions and the variances necessary. I think the building envelope that's shown on the plan really speaks for itself. It's extremely limited. And due to that narrow and shallow building envelope and other unique factors, like the denial of access, it cannot be developed in strict compliance with the code. The exceptional practical difficulty was not created by the applicant, and it was not self-created. It arises from evolving setback requirements and unique property characteristics that significantly limit the developable area for a suitably sized building in the C1 district. The variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. To date, there's no known opposition. We've, of course, respected the buffer and space between the residential and commercial, which County Council very much so cares about right now, and it was taken into consideration in the design of making sure there truly is a separation between those types of uses. And finally, the variance requested is the minimum variance necessary to afford the relief. The variances, if approved, would represent the minimum, and the applicant has submitted a proposal that meets the least amount required while ensuring a reasonably sized building. So in conclusion, the applicant requests the board's grant of both variances to allow for the development of their 2-story building to serve Shed Crazy's Design Center. I would at some point like to have Jennifer Sharp come up and be sworn in, but I can do that after we get to questions, Mr. Sharp, if that's that works for you.
So can you clarify what the variance being requested, what was the actual?
A distance?
Yeah.
Yep. So it's a 29.6 feet measurement. That's the variance request itself, and it's the same for both the CHCOZ request and the front yard setback request. And it would allow for the building to be located at 30.4 feet. And it is marked on the plan.
Yeah.
So you can see that.
So is, what's your understanding of the reason for the Del Dot restricted access on this property?
So it was a deed restriction that was recorded historically. This has been a long-term project that I've had with my clients. They purchased back in 2024. When we ran title, we came across the denial of access. I believe it has to do with what would be an unsafe condition to have an access there at the intersection of Hudson Road. The denial of access is specifically here. And so the intersection of Hudson Road is here, and so you wouldn't want traffic coming in and out here when you've got turning traffic, you know, coming to and from, and at that intersection there.
Yeah, I would assume that. Right. So where are they proposing a ingress or an egress?
Here.
Safe there?
Here. And it's already been approved by Del Dot and improved on the site physically. Mm-hmm. And that's why the whole design is shifted north on the property. Does that make sense?
Okay. Is there a final, is there already a design for the building, or is it just sort of, I mean, the dimensions are based on the fully designed?
The dimensions are based on the size building that my clients need, but it's still being designed.
Mm-hmm. Have they considered other designs that would be require variance?
I believe that any design would require a variance that would allow for the building. They have considered other designs. This is really what they need, the size of the building, the footprint of the building. And their design is driven by also a desired aesthetic, too, for a design center as well.
There's currently some foundations that are out there that are kind of like in disrepair.
That's right.
You're going, from what I heard you say, you're not going any further out than what these are all currently, right?
No, there is an extension further into the setback requirement.
How much?
Approximately 10 feet. So the edge of the building, of those existing remnants are approximately here. And then the edge of our building is here.
Yeah, looking like the site plan from April of 23, or May of 23, I should say, looks like the building on the north, the closest point was 40.8 feet.
Mm-hmm.
The building in the south was 41 feet.
Mm-hmm. Approximately, yeah, 10 feet.
So you're saying this is the size of the building that they would need to be a functional business.
Correct, and because the goal is to get all of that outdoor storage, I don't know if you've ever had the benefit of seeing how their business operated at the intersection of Cave Neck, but everything was outside. And so that whole business model has changed, and now they need to bring everything inside. And so the sheds, they will be able to bring a display shed inside with two chairs to give that visual inside. That's the goal. They're bringing everything inside to have that design to build approach, which is a shift from their previous business model of you know, ordering inventory and then hoping for the resale.
Mm-hmm. More built to order as well.
Correct, yeah.
And in correlation with Grizzlies, footprint, you're going to be probably about even with where Grizzlies,
or I would say even less. They're very close.
That's
to
the Grizzlies.
I would say so. When you look at the the aerial that we submitted, they're very close to Route 1. I don't have that specific measurement, though, so I can't speak specifically to it.
I'm from there. I know we're good.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, right.
And as far as the aesthetics, it'll probably correlate with what's right across the street.
Artesian is across the street, and they're, and when you think about, if you look at the aerials too of Artesian, they're, all of their parking, everything like that is all in that setback too.
Right.
So the goal is really that it look more like a design center, that I would say that it would look better than Artesian's building, you know, that would be, have that aesthetic appeal and look like a design center, not a contractor building. Does that make sense? Yeah. What other questions can I answer?
Is there a, it looks to me from looking at the site plan here, that there's a pretty significant gap from where the edge of Route 1 is to the front property line. Am I looking at that correctly?
Yes.
How, do we know how far that is?
Yeah.
We'll have you sworn in. Please state your name and address for the record, please.
Good evening. My name is Roger Gross. I'm a professional engineer with Mearstone Consultants out of Lewis, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. So the question was the gap between the front property line and where the edge of paving on Route 1 is. Do you know how far that is?
I'm trying to zoom in. Is there a way to zoom in on
this?
Yeah,
I can help.
Maybe 44 feet.
You're talking about from the edge of the shoulder?
The edge of paving of Route 1, where cars would go, to the front property line.
The front property line. It looks like it's about around 30, 34 feet, 35 feet, I believe, to the, and that's the shoulder. That's the edge of the shoulder.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then the structure is going to be another 30 feet beyond that.
Correct.
So, okay. The other question I had was a building question. Looking at the building, are there going to be any steps that protrude into the front yard that we're aware of?
No.
Okay. And then looking at the property, I know there's some low areas not far from there. Is the rear of the property, is that lowlands? Does it slope to the rear or anything?
No, there's... There was no indication of any wetland areas. There's a little bit of slope down towards the intersection with Hudson Road. There's DelDOT has a catch basin and storm sewer in there. My guess is we'll probably, if fortunate enough to get the variance going through site plan approval, the stormwater would probably be located on the south edge of the building, south side of the building, and tie into the drainage system on Coastal Highway.
So where that kind of, it's not a circle, but the octagon shape or whatever that is, kind of to the south of the building,
that
area is going to be kind of where your drainage would be, or stormwater.
Yeah, stormwater management, yes.
All right, I have no further questions. Thank you.
Are there any other questions?
So with Mr. Sharp's question, let's just say it is 35 feet. That would give off an appearance of it's more than 60 feet from the actual road. It would give off the appearance.
Yes.
It is more than
it
60
is,
feet.
Yes.
It's like 60, close.
But technically not from, right, the line,
yes,
and needing the setback request, the variance request still. Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions? I did want to ask Mr. Sharp to swear one of my clients in and just to confirm the statements I made on the record and to correct anything if I misspoke.
Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Jennifer Sharp, 14512 Deer Forest Road, Bridgeville, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And did you hear the statements made by your attorney?
I did, yes.
And did you believe those to be true and correct?
Absolutely, 100%.
Do you have any corrections to the statements that she's made? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else?
No. Questions from the board? Further questions? Mr. Sharp, no more questions?
I have nothing further.
Okay. Is there anyone present who is in favor of case number 13185? Is there anyone present who is in opposition of case number 13185? If there are no further questions from the board, I will close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion if I could. I move that we approve case number 13185 for Coastal Highway LLC for the requested variances pending final written decision based upon the record made during the public hearing and for these reasons. The property has a unique physical condition, the narrowness of the property, and they're not encroaching in the neighbors in back of them, and also with the neighbor beside them, Grizzlies, it's been mentioned, they will be in the same footprint of them, and also with the shoulder setback, we're at around 65 feet. The exceptional practical difficulty is due to such conditions. Due to such physical circumstances or conditions, there is no possibility that the property can be developed in strict conformity with Sussex County Zoning Code, and the variance is therefore necessary to enable the reasonable use of this property. The exceptional practical difficulty has not been created by the applicant. The variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood, nor substantially or permanently impair the appropriate use or development of the adjacent properties, nor be detrimental to the public welfare. The variance represents the minimum variances necessary to afford relief and represents the least modification of regulation at issue.
I second that motion.
I have a motion and a second. Mr. Kingery?
Aye.
Mr. McClure?
Aye.
Dr. Hitchens?
Aye.
Mr. Levenga?
Aye.
And aye, too. With a vote of 5-0, case number 13185 has been approved.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.